Alt NPR.
I'm Alan Baker, the Cellar Rat, and it's finally begun. After a cold, wet spring delayed the start of the growing season, and then an extended record-setting heat spike in July, the harvest and crush for 2006 has begun. Or, as we say in the vineyard, it's on! It's Ratcast number 52. The money game with all his pieces can't be lost to one who misses. A b-ball hoop that once was tall did disappear. It didn't fall, buried underneath it. The California wine grape harvest for 2006 has begun, with Pinot Noir for sparkling wine coming in Napa and Sonoma counties, and Sauvignon Blanc coming in other regions. Pinot Noir grapes for sparkling wines are typically the first grapes to be harvested, since they are early ripeners and they're picked at a significantly lower sugar level than the grapes that are used to make still wine from the same variety. Sugar levels in grapes are measured in a unit called Brix, B-R-I-X, and this equates roughly to the percentage sugar in the grape juices squeezed from the grapes. So for sparkling wines, grapes are harvested around, 17 to 19%. Well, I do know because I looked it up. 17 to 19% sugar or Brix. And grapes for still wines are usually picked at about 23 and above, with the higher sugar content leading to a wine with higher alcohol, since there's just more sugar to convert. This first small stream of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay for sparkling wine will be followed by a torrent of white grapes, which typically ripen first, followed by the red grape varieties, and it'll all wrap up around the end of November or so. Last season was a record harvest in yield as well as dollar value for the grape crop in California, and because of that bumper crop last year, it's expected that there will be a smaller crop this year, which is typical for grapevines. If they yield a large crop, the following year is usually a little lighter. And to figure out what the 06 growing season dealt to winemakers here in California, I figured it was time to connect with some old Ratcast friends to get the scoop on how things are looking around the state. We'll start with Jim Fetzer of Ciego Vine Garden up in Lake County. Fetzer runs a biodynamic growing operation to make his wines and was featured in Ratcast number 27. Jim, are you there?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking some time out. I know things are quite busy for you right now, but maybe if I could just ask you, I know that in Dry Creek Valley, where I spent most of my time this spring, we got off to a very late start. Give me the quick take on how your season got started this year.
Yeah, we got off to a very late start as well, Alan. You know, as you know, it rained. Right when the rain stopped is when we started budding out here. So things just came out late, but they caught up within 2 months. You know, things grew just very rapid, continuous growth, which is what the vines like. They hate to start growing and sit. So we've had a great growing season so far, and it continues to be nice.
Well, that's great. So, and last year, around most of the state, it was an absolute bumper crop. What are you seeing for fruit and yield coming out of the vineyards this year?
You know, I've heard a lot of different things in different vineyards, you know, around the county. More particular in our vineyards up here in Lake County, we're probably one of the more northern vineyards in the state. You know, most of our vines are pretty young, so we have a pretty nice crop. You know, the crop, I think, looks pretty average to full for us.
So you're not seeing things backing off after a big year last year?
No, we didn't have a big year last year, so I think it depends on a particular vineyard.
Well, talk to me a little bit just about where you're located. I realize I should have started there, but tell me where you are in the world of California wine.
So we're in Lake County, which is just north of Napa, and we sit at an elevation. The lake level is about 1,370 feet. So we're a very high county. You know, everything's above that. That's the lake level. And we're right on the lake. We have about 3/4 of a mile of lakefront. So we sit right off the lake. So we're kind of tempered by the lake itself. And so we're north of Napa and east of Mendocino County.
So in the middle of the summer, in July, we had a pretty major heat spike. How did you deal with that heat, and what were the effects on your vines?
We did not dodge that heat. We had days up in the, 113. I think we even hit a high of 114 degrees.
Wow.
And the thing that was unusual there, Alan, is it was just so still. You know, normally we get these breezes in the afternoon that cool things off. But we had, there was no wind whatsoever. So it sat very still. It made for really nice when you're on the water, about midnight to 1 o'clock at night. When you're boating around, it was perfect. But the advantage that we have here is we have pumps right in the lake.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, an unlimited amount of water. And on those hot days, what we'll do is we'll put 2 to 3 hours of water on the vineyards, on the vines with an overhead sprinkling system to cool the vines down to allow the vines to continue to work. I think that's very important.
So you actually have sprinklers that spray the vineyard as opposed to just the drip irrigation?
Yeah, when we set up our vineyards here, because we had the water, we elected to go with overhead sprinklers so we can cool the vineyards, we can use for frost protection, we can irrigate if we need. We don't really need to irrigate a lot up here because, the soils are so deep and porous.
Looking at kind of just the typical year, and you're out tasting grapes, I'm sure. What are you tasting this year that might set this year apart?
Well, I think we're tasting a lot of really true varietal characteristics. A lot of times this time of the year, the grapes will have a somewhat of a watery taste, watered down, but they seem more concentrated this year. I know Javier, my winemaker, he's been out in the field almost every day sampling, and he's just really excited about the flavors of Sauvignon Blanc in particular at this point because they are coming close. But I think we're going to get some really true, clean characters.
Well, I appreciate your time, Jim, and I wish you all the luck with this year's crush, and good luck.
Okay, Alan, thank you.
That's Jim Fetzer of Ciego Vine Garden in Lake County, which is in Northern California, one of the northernmost grown regions in California. And so why don't we go down south, swing down south to Paso Robles. I guess that's still the middle of the state officially, but it's south for those of us living up north. Anyway, Paso Robles is roughly midway between Los Angeles and San Francisco, a very hot region temperature-wise, and Paso is known for Zinfandel as well as Cabernet Sauvignon, and more recently for Rhone varietals. But I heard that Robert Hall Winery was bringing in Sauvignon Blanc, so I tracked down their winemaker and director, Don Brady, and after commiserating about the season that seemed like it would never begin, I asked him to tell me about how things progressed after that slow start.
Once we got started, we've had a very warm season this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the heat we had in July was kind of the capper on the whole thing.
Was it too much, or was that heat spell something that actually worked for you?
I think it's going to work for us. What the July heat spell did was it we had that heat at just the time when the berries were sizing, mm-hmm. and it tended to stick the berry size, and so for the most part, the berry size in the vineyard is very small.
And so how does that translate into better or worse wine?
That's going to give us basically most of the wines we make here are red, and most of the flavor and color and come from the skins.
Mm.
And so if the berries are small, there's a higher skin-to-juice ratio, which is going to, I think, will mean good things for quality.
Good. Now, did you have a bumper crop last year like much of the state did?
We had a bumper crop last year.
And did that translate then into a smaller crop this year, or what are you looking at crop load?
General consensus with the small berries we're seeing was that this would be a smaller crop. We'll know in about 2 weeks. We've started our Sauvignon Blanc harvest, and that seems to be a relatively normal crop.
So you're bringing. When did you start harvesting the Sauvignon Blanc?
About 10 days ago.
Wow. Okay. So you've had some time to experience the fruit as it comes into the winery. What are you seeing? What taste profile are you getting this year that might be different from another year?
It seemed really crisp, clean, distinct flavors with Sauvignon Blanc,
mm-hmm.
which is what we look for. So I really. I think we're going to see good things from this harvest. I mean, the Cabernet is the largest grown variety in the area here, Cabernet seems to be very uniform. It's evenly colored. Small berries, I anticipate making really great wines. Then the Rhone varieties that we produce, here again the berries are small, which means good things for, because the Grenache and the Senso, the Cunois, the Syrah can tend to make larger berries, and they're better when they're smaller berries, and that's what we have.
So for timing on maybe even some of those, like I think Grenache is kind of a late ripener. Are you in good shape for the season? Are you going to get everything in good time?
Yeah, we're going to have I believe we will have a very normal harvest timing-wise. August the 25th is when we traditionally have started Sauvignon Blanc. This year we started it on the 26th.
What? An average crop and normal harvest? Every winemaker I've ever talked with insists that there is no such thing. But Don, you blew their cover. I knew they had a model in their head of what was typical, and now, I have proof. My thanks to Don. I know it's a very, very busy time in the winery. So I started this whole thing off today talking about how it was harvest time for Pinot to go into sparkling wine. So I figured I should at least track down someone making sparkling wine. And last year, I hung out at Jay Winery in Healdsburg to learn what a harvest day was like at a sparkling house. And you can check out that in Ratcast number 9 on CellarRat.org. But just this morning, actually, I learned that Iron Horse Vineyards was pulling in their first lot of Pinot Noir today. And Iron Horse is located way out on the western edge of Sonoma County in Green Valley, a region on the southwestern edge of the Russian River Valley viticultural area, a very cool growing region. Yet, even they had to deal with the heat spike this summer. But I asked Joy Sterling, who runs the family operation, to take me back to that that wet spring and the floods that washed through the Russian River Valley this winter.
We had an amazing amount of rain, a biblical amount of rain. I renamed Iron Horse Island Iron Horse. And I was very amazed when my home at the foot of the property was waterfront views with ducks not just swimming around my house, but literally surfing by. The water was moving so fast. The little bridge that crosses the creek at the entrance of the vineyard was completely inundated, and you could not get to the winery. Then, besides having a lot of rain in the winter, we also had a significant amount in the early spring, and that did delay the season significantly. But it turned out to be absolutely fantastic for the vines because they looked so incredibly healthy this year, all through the growing season. And while it contributed to a large amount of vineyard work, particularly managing the extensive leaf growth, which you would associate with a lot of water in the ground, so very labor-intensive vintage. But they just seemed so happy all year long, and probably the additional water helped them during the heat spike that we had. Vines actually shut down when the temperature hits 95 to 100 degrees. So they simply protect themselves.
Tell me a little bit about how you treated the vines and how you got through that.
Well, we are now fully engaged in what's called precision farming, which is a very cutting-edge practice of sustainable farming that stands alongside organic and biodynamic as a third way.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the advantage of being fact-based, of using science and all of the high-tech toys at our disposal, allowing us to focus on more tightly delineated sections of our vineyard. So in a nutshell, what precision farming does is what was once one block of vineyard, today for us is five individual blocks of vineyard. And my brother literally walked the vineyards every day despite the heat, and we were able to deliver water to just those areas that need it. Whereas in the old days, when the temperatures hit 100 degrees, we would have just turned on the water for everything.
So that sounds like treating what used to be one block as five blocks sounds like you probably then get a much more kind of consistent ripeness at harvest time, too. Is that one effect?
That is the primary goal, and that is exactly what we saw today with the first grapes that we brought in. They were not only gorgeous looking, just looking at the fruit as they got loaded as whole clusters into the press. I mean, the uniformity of maturity was just spectacular, and that has to do with rigorous vineyard management. And that's what precision farming is all about.
So as you're tasting the grapes in the vineyard, and now that they're coming in to the winery, what are you tasting in the grapes that might set this harvest season apart from others?
Higher complexity and greater nuance. Mm-hmm. The last couple of weeks, the fogginess and the coolness that we've enjoyed have allowed a tremendous accumulation of flavor. And, I mean, it's only day one, but it bodes so well. I predict that this is what our fruit is going to look like throughout the harvest. 2005, I was very annoyed with Mother Nature. I just don't understand her thinking at all. Doesn't she realize that the demand for Pinot Noir is skyrocketing? And I really feel like I should send her to business school to understand supply and demand. So hopefully she'll do better by us this year.
So there you have it, a snapshot from three regions around California, which should give you a bit of an idea of what to expect from the 06 vintage. And yes, I know all wineries want you to come away thinking that they are making great wine every year. But I can attest to the small berry size in most vineyards and a reasonably low crop load out there as well. And both of these are good indicators for the concentration of the fruit. Both of them lend lower yield, and smaller berry size make more concentrated fruit. So I tend to believe that the season, at least at this early stage, looks to be very promising. And I'm anxious to get up north to Anderson Valley to get a look at the Pinot Noir that I'll be buying to make wine this year. The harvest date for that vineyard is looking like it'll be mid-October if these mild temperatures hang in there, which would be perfect. Let that fruit hang there and gain some complexity and ripen those seeds. Brown seeds and brown stems tend to be an indicator that the fruit is physiologically ripe and the tannins are no longer green. So it's looking really good right now, and it's hard not to catch a bit of the wild optimism that I'm hearing from winemakers this year. And I don't know, it'll all be different in a month when they're worn out and have yet another month to go before they can wrap up the crush. But this is an exciting time to be around wine country. If you happen to be headed out to a wine growing region, be sure to drop by cellarrat.org and leave us a note on what you're finding that is really great this year. So would look forward to hearing about any of your travels on cellarrat.org. I'm Alan Baker, the Cellar Rat, and I will be back with you soon.
Alt NPR.